It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you listening. You each are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Live with intention and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Most definitely. In studio with us is one of my friends and sponsor of the show, and that is, she's an entrepreneur, owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, and that's Susan Kochevar. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And you are open.
We are open. Our theater is open.
That sounds so good. People need to get together and get out. And what's your hours? What days?
Yep, crowds have been good. We have a really sort of amended hours this season. So we're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Thursday. We're closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Okay, and when do the doors open?
The box office opens at 7 p.m., and you can find all of our information on 88drivein.net. We are $10 per person. That includes all three features, whatever we're showing that night. You can come in at any time you want before that start of that third feature and leave anytime you want. People don't understand how drive-ins work anymore, so it's a lot of fun. They think they're locked in, and no.
They can come. Oh, so it's freedom versus force, huh?
Freedom, imagine.
I like it. So it's great to have you here in studio, and it actually means springtime when 88 Drive-In Theater is open, so it's great to have you here.
It does, yeah. The days start getting warmer, and I start getting antsy and ready to open.
Ah, that's awesome. And go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. I've got this great little free speech new bracelet that I have.
Oh, I like that.
And that's from the girls up in Boulder, so I really appreciate that.
Boulder.
So, keeping our independent voice alive out there. So let's go ahead and jump in. We've got a lot planned today. First thing, and we now have it correctly on the website. We want to make it easy for you. Dr. Jill last Friday was talking about this new rulemaking regarding the HIPAA laws. And don't you remember back in Obamacare, Susan, Obamacare was pushing for electronic records?
Yep.
And we say they're always playing long ball. Our side's playing tiddlywinks. But he said, it's going to be secure. We have all these HIPAA laws. Well, guess what? They're now doing a new rulemaking change on that. It is 327 pages long. But if you go to my website and click on last Friday's show, there is a link there that you can make comments. I made comments saying, do not change this. This makes our medical data less secure. And we now have that on there. So that's from last Friday's show.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that bothers me in talking about, you know, the long game and the other side, you know, all our side actually had to do was to hold the line and stop negotiating, because you negotiate backwards on your rights when you start doing that. All they had to do was say no, and they didn't do it. And now we are in very big trouble.
Yeah, they've reached across the aisle, and
yes.
There is no aisle anymore. And that's really what has happened here in Colorado. And it's been extremely frustrating. It's taken a while for me to quite understand what's happened. But the establishment consultant Republican class in Colorado has reached across the aisle so much that you now see what we have. And that is a basically almost a Marxist state legislature and governor.
Absolutely. And we see this on a national level, too, with Frank Luntz, who was for years the consultant with the Republican Party, and he's now starting to be called out because he's been saying, no, Republicans really, they're really for immigration. This is what he was advising some of our top Republican electeds, and that's simply not the case. His advice was skewed.
And he's been paid to come out here and speak. And he used to, he was held up as the guy that could really tell us how to message.
Yes.
And quite frankly, the great message is the truth.
Yes, and sticking to those principles of liberty. That's all you need. That's all you need.
And you won't get in trouble if you do that.
Yes.
And we are in a world of hurt right now, but so many people are waking up.
I think so.
When we were coming up in the elevator today, you said you slept well last night. I see real hope in your eyes.
I slept well. There is a group that shall remain unnamed on Facebook, and they are going out and pushing the envelope, and other people see them and they're following along. It really is emboldening everyone, and I'm very happy for that.
And that would be on the freedom side, correct?
It'd be on the freedom side, yes.
They're pushing
back, and you know, there are a lot of us. We just need to stand together.
That's for sure. So, okay, first thing to do on your to-do list today is go to my website, click on Friday's show, and make your comments regarding our medical security. And just say no to loosening up the HIPAA laws on that. You don't have to say much, but just be sure and do that. That's your walking orders today. It is due by the 6th, so
okay.
You have 2 days to do that. Let's see. Since you were coming in, I thought that this would be a good quote for the day. C.S. Lewis. He was a British writer and lay theologian. He held academic positions in English literature at both Oxford University and Cambridge University. He is best known for his works of fiction, especially The Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Space Trilogy, and for his nonfiction Christian apologetics, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and The Problem of Pain. And when you talk about Christian apologetics, apologetics means a defense of. So he was a defender of the Christian faith. And this is what he said. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience.
Absolutely. You can see that in all the regulations that we have. It's getting harder and harder to run your business. Just think how hard it is to relax. You've always got something. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorites.
Did you read the Chronicles of Narnia?
I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
The Screwtape Letters are wonderful, though, because that's just about how bureaucracies work. You know, one of the things I think people miss is that not only are some of our electeds a problem, but the even bigger problem is the bureaucracy. And I hear people say, well, we should have term limits. Yes, but not for the electeds. They have term limits in the form of an election, but the bureaucrats do not. And that is where the problem is coming from. In Westminster, they just recalled they were trying to recall the mayor because of all these really high water rates that got passed. So they collected signatures, and the city staff, the bureaucracy, discounted a lot of them so they couldn't do the recall. They went to court, and they just now won. And last night, the mayor of Westminster resigned. That is a huge win. People couldn't pay their water bills. All people couldn't buy food and you know, take a bath. It was terrible. So he just resigned. But you see now, he resigned, but we still have these bureaucrats who are in their jobs, and they need to be fired for that.
When I was on city council, and I can't remember which bureaucrats it was, but they basically looked at the electeds, and they said, we will be here long after you're gone.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they do. And these were the people who were pushing those water rates and new structures through the city council and telling all the city council people, oh, yeah, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they needed.
And actually, bureaucrats, they live off taxpayers' dollars,
mm-hmm.
Very healthy salaries, and then pensions as well. And I actually think that down in my town, that they're starting to, you can start to see this kind of these listening tours to start to think about, well, what could we do regarding raising taxes?
Oh, dear.
So I'm going to keep you informed on that. But that's late breaking news what happened last night.
It is. And I will tell you, the city manager needs to be fired. You know, he oversees all of this stuff, and they just about broke some of their citizens. Well, they did. He needs to be fired.
Okay. That's Susan Kochevar, never one to be shy about what she thinks about on things. let's jump over here to Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. Chris Cantwell, it is good to talk with you.
Good morning, Kim, and it's good to hear from Susan as well. I hope you're both doing fantastic this morning.
Well, we are, and it's been a few weeks since we've chatted. What are you seeing in the business range? There's a lot going on, correct?
There is a lot going on, and as a reminder, I just want to remind business owners that every business needs an exit strategy, and if you own a business at some point, you're going to sell, whether it's to an employee, to an outside person, maybe even to a family member, you want to be in a situation to earn the most for the sale of your business. So whether you're thinking about selling in 10 months or 10 years, I can certainly help now, and I can give you an idea on what your business may be worth today in the market, and then can help you strategize a plan to plateau your business at the right time. And then I'll just add, you got to keep in mind the market is always changing. Today we have more good buyers looking for good businesses than we have businesses to sell, and we carry over 200 listings. So same thing on the buyer side. If you are thinking about being a business owner and an entrepreneur, I can certainly help and show you what we have available and prepare you on buying a business.
Well, that sounds like, I know you're in the opportunity business for sure, Chris Cantwell. How can people reach you?
They can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all my contact information on your website.
Chris Cantwell, Susan has a question.
No, not a question, just one comment about that. I find that people in the trades often, especially if it's a single, business owner, they don't tend to think they have something to sell. Like I have a friend in the window business, and he never considered it until I said, listen, you should talk to my friend Chris, because you can position your business and you actually have something. And he didn't realize it's very important to, I highly recommend giving Chris a call and talk to him.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a business listed today that's $30,000. That's not a lot of money, but it's still a business that is, we've got a buyer for this business, and it gives this buyer a great first-time opportunity to be an entrepreneur and get into a business at a number as low as $30,000. So mm-hmm. we can really sell almost anything out there. Price and time come into play, but there are buyers for almost everything out there. So it's a great point, Susan. I appreciate you bringing it up.
So again, Chris Cantwell's information is at my website, kimmunson.com. Chris Cantwell, thanks so much. We will talk to you soon.
See you, ladies. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. And before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. There's 5 locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And I thought I would highlight some of their lunch specials. These are available Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They have $8 items, which are your Baja fish tacos, lunch burger, or smoked wings with curly fries. $9 items, shrimp tacos, chicken strips, and a chicken garden salad and some other things. And $10, their fish and chips, their buffalo chicken sandwich, and their Western burger. And that's good for to-go and to dine in. They have all kinds of specials. Kids eat free, a variety of things. Find those on my website. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Susan Kochevar is in studio, and we'll talk about the bill of the day. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do it. So let's jump over here, Susan Kochevar, to our bill of the day. Speaking of force, and that is Senate Bill 21-246. The sponsor is Democrat Senator Fenberg, and it's concerning measures to, first of all, they use that freedom word, encourage.
Yes.
Beneficial electrification, and in connection therewith, directing, force word, the Public Utilities Commission, bureaucracy, and Colorado Utilities, big brother, or big business and big government like each other, to promote compliance, there's your force word, with current environmental and labor standards. And basically, it is directing the PUC to establish energy savings targets and approve plans under which investor-owned electric utilities will promote the use of energy-efficient electric equipment. And, you know, they use those words that sounds good, but it's not really honest, because we had a conversation last week about just what it takes to create batteries and or to manufacture them. But to promote the use of energy-efficient electric equipment in place of less efficient fossil fuel-based systems. And it would the directive would substantially follow the model of existing demand-side management, which that's what I think got Texas in big trouble.
Yes, ma'am.
And policies by the PUC. In fact, you were speaking about the water rates up in Westminster, how people were surprised. Don't you remember with the big freeze down in Texas that the energy bills that people had to pay were significant? And here is Colorado working to implement something that could put us in a position like that.
Yeah, people were mad about those rates, but you know, the money to pay for that stuff has to come from somewhere. And when these oligarchies get together, it can cost you a fortune.
Well, and Patty and I were talking about it. Another thing is it looks like it may limit what people could put into their house. So let's say you wanted to have, I know Steve likes to cook on a natural gas range, right, Steve?
I do, because, it's just so much better, so much easier. Easier to work with, better, easier to control than an electric top.
But under this bill, quite frankly, you would be told all the benefits of an electric range over your fossil fuel range. And this is a directive that the government is saying. And ultimately, I think they want to get rid of your opportunity to buy a gas range.
Yes, they do. Well, that first time that they came up, that was made very plain that, you know, eventually, this gas top gas top appliances will be phased out. They don't say eliminated; they say phased out.
Correct. They're writing codes so that you can't build the new homes with gas stoves. And one other thing we should talk about here: investor-owned utilities. So a while back, the amount of money that somebody got on return, you know, you always invested in utilities because it was a slow rate of return, but it was a fixed guaranteed rate, not guaranteed, but they
normally
grow.
Normally they had a good rate on their dividends.
Exactly. But it wasn't going to be huge. Well, what they have done in Colorado was said, okay, well, all these investors get a 10% return. Well, that's a guaranteed tax. You know, every time utilities go up, these people get a guaranteed amount of return. That's wrong. That's not investing.
No, it's not.
So this is a way for these people to get more, you know, money at this investment. It's just a giant oligarchy. I'm not explaining that very well, but that's that's very misleading.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I thought about on this is here you have the PUC, big government, big business like each other. Xcel likes big government. Because then they're using public policy to push the purchase of their product, and actually then using public policy to shut down another industry. And the thing that they're pushing is really it's less efficient, it will be more expensive, it's not as reliable, and it's not as abundant, because we certainly are relying on China for much of the solar panels, much of the wind turbines that are being manufactured. And here we have fossil fuels that are efficient, abundant, reliable, and affordable. And you're seeing public policy try to push that out. So this is just another little way to do that, Susan.
And we saw in Texas, people died.
They did die.
It's very serious.
Yeah. And so, but again, these are just continual little things that they are doing. And really, should government be in? You know what? This all went back to the whole light bulb thing. Do you remember that many years ago?
Yes.
When government came in and said which light bulbs you could buy and not. And the Republicans were complicit in that as well. They had reached across the aisle, and that is not the government's business.
And the light bulbs we were to use in replacement were unsafe. They had mercury in them. In fact, they came out with this ridiculous suit they wanted you to wear if you broke a light bulb. And all this instructions, you know, what to do with the light
bulb. How to get rid of your light bulb. It's a problem.
Because it's dangerous for the environment.
Right. So, okay, we're kind of digressing on things here, but I want to focus here for a few minutes on what's on your heart, because you're out there, you see a lot going on, and what's on your heart, Susan?
Well, I think the thing that hit me this morning, there was a teacher I see that got pulled over for talking on her cell phone while driving, and she was super, super nasty to the officer that pulled her over. And so we have this push to ban or criminalize almost everything and give, tell our police force, we want you to pull people over for this and this and this and this and this and this. And it's a lot of stuff. So when they actually do what they're told there to do, then there's this giant pushback about you're pulling people over and, you know, you're being terrible to people. Listen, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. You cannot criminalize everything and then be surprised when you get pulled over and just... It's the left sort of eating itself.
Okay.
It's a circular firing squad, you know. They're banning everything. Now they want to ban menthol cigarettes. What did we see happen in New York when they were banning the sale of single cigarettes? A man died.
Right.
So stop banning stuff.
Right. Let you know, freedom is kind of messy.
It is kind of messy. You have to go with sort of the libertarian approach to that. There are things you can't do. You can't hurt people. Did the woman hurt somebody? No. So... you know,
liberty, as Ben Martin says, is the responsible exercise of freedom.
Yes.
And I agree with you. This, all these things that they have been passing down at the State House here. And Colorado, my friends, is at the tip of the spear with all of this. I wanted to jump over here to something, though. And this is from CPR. And it says, Colorado reform policing after George Floyd's murder. This year, advocates may be hitting a wall. And what they have found is, this is a quote regarding Representative Leslie Herod, apparently has wanted to push forward even more policing reforms, if you will. And what she said, we are at a place where there is tremendous backlash against the movement for racial equality and the movement for black lives. And opponents of the current crop of proposals object to that description and say their concerns are with policies that they believe are reducing public safety. And we just can look at the numbers here, Susan. It says Colorado saw an escalating crime rate in 2020, with increases in virtually every category. The numbers were notably high for auto theft, property crime, and violent crime, according to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. Statewide, violent crime rose 6.5% over the 2019 numbers, and auto thefts were up by almost 40% from the year before. In Denver last year, the number of homicides was more than 50% higher than in 2019. We cannot thrive and prosper if we don't have safe communities.
No, absolutely. You have to be able to leave your home and know that when you come back, you know, your things are going to be there. You can't have a functional society without that. And I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. You know, they keep wanting to ban things, especially on the left, you know, cigarettes and menthol and driving with your phone and all this other stuff. And meanwhile, all the other crimes are
they're decriminalizing it.
Yeah.
It's
going
crazy.
Through the roof, stealing, you know, what do they tell businesses in San Francisco? Was it somebody can steal $500 worth of stuff and we're not going to go after them for a little business? You can't do that. You can't just steal $500 worth of product from me.
Think of a lot of people did that.
Yeah.
Put them out of business.
Which is what will happen.
That's for sure. So, hey, let's jump over here to Jason McBride and see what he has to say about all of that. Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. What's your thoughts on this discussion on higher crime here in the Denver area?
Well, you guys make a good point. When you make everything a criminal act, then of course you're going to get higher crime. But it seems like at the same time they want to let the tougher criminals slide and make excuses for the poor little darlings as to why they commit so many crimes.
Yeah, it's and safe neighborhoods are essential, Jason, to people thriving and prospering. What about over in your area? You help people with their own economic prosperity.
Well, we certainly do our best. And, you know, I think it can be times like this that are a little bit dangerous for folks when the markets are very, very high. Some of the stuff that's been going up, it feels a little bit, Kim, like it did back in the internet bubble when you've got stocks that are at very, very high valuations, companies that don't have any earnings that, again, are very, very high just because of the idea that they have. It doesn't feel quite as bad as it did then, and I haven't noticed quite as much just blind people blindly piling into these things with such fervor as they have at other times, be right before the market took a drop. But there is some of that, and certainly prices do seem pretty high, you know, valuation-wise compared to normal valuations that we've seen over the years. I saw a couple of statistics where, according to like Schiller, that things are about 2.5 times higher than you'd see in, quote, a normal market, whatever that is. So, you know, sooner or later, the good times stop rolling, and I think it's wise for folks to think about, you know, how much risk do you need to take in order to achieve your goals, and what would make more difference in your life, a little bit more gain, or, you know, if you did turn out to have a big loss, which one's going to have more of an effect on you?
Well, I'd recommend that people reach out to you, Jason McBride, to talk about that, because risk tolerance is something that is real, and it's never a bad idea sometimes to raise some cash. So how can people reach you, Jason?
Best way, Kim, is just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Josh Phillip and Jen Hewlin.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And these great partners that I get to work with is another way that we stay on the air. And one of those is Jen Hewlin. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery, located right here in Centennial, Colorado. Jen Hewlin, welcome to the show. It is Mother's Day this weekend, and you're doing some special things at the winery for Mother's Day.
Hey, Kim and Steve. Thanks for having me on today. We've got some amazing things going on, as always, trying to have some fun and keep everybody fed. We've got Chef D cooking some special food, and we're going to have some champagne specials as well this weekend. So be sure to make your reservation before you come out, because we are small, so we want to make sure we have a spot for you and your mom.
And how can people do that, Jen?
You can call the winery. Our phone number is 720-381-6663. That's 720-381-6663. And you can stop by or make a reservation that way, or you can, you know, reason to stop by and have a glass of wine while you're making a reservation. We highly recommend that.
You'd most definitely. And one other thing, you have ordered some cool pins, which I think could be a great Mother's Day gift if they get here in time, and that's these free breather pins. Tell us just a little bit about that.
That's right. I went out and found an amazing graphic artist to design a pin that I want to let the world know that I am not a slave. I'm not going to be putting a mask or a muzzle on. And so I created a pin that's an American flag that's fluttering in the breeze, and above it says free, and below it says breather. And I will have those for sale. I'm not trying to make any money. I just want people to wear them proudly when they go out and show the world I'm not afraid to breathe the air. So you can come by and grab one of those from me. I should have them in about 2 weeks' time. So I'm very excited. And of course, I'll send one to you and Steve so you can let the world know that you are freedom loving.
I love it, Jen Hewlin, and I so appreciate your partnership.
Well, thank you. We love having you guys around as well. And we'll see you down at the Water's Edge.
Sounds great. And again, that number is 720-381-6663. Now we're going to jump over here with Josh Phillip with the Epic Times. And Josh Phillip, you are a senior investigative reporter with the Epic Times and host of Crossroads. It is so great to have you on the show.
Hey, always a pleasure, Kim.
And in studio with me, Josh, is another one of my great partners. That is Susan Kochevar, and she is the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, and I know she's really excited to be on the show with you as well. Let's jump in here. You're just on the cutting edge, and I really think you're a journalist as far as seeking to get the stories right, Josh. And what are you seeing regarding the Arizona audit that's going on?
Well, you know, basically right now in Arizona, there were two different audits. There was one done by the local officials in Maricopa County where a lot of the irregularities took place. And that was the one where they came out and said, oh, there's no problems. Essentially what they did was they invited, teams to come and basically say, hey, yeah, the machines work. And that was essentially the breadth of the audit, right? You know, yeah, they turn on. You know, that was essentially it. The one being done right now is through the state Senate. And this one is the more complete audit. Now, they've already gotten approval for it. They're already moving forward with it. It's already well on its way, on schedule. They got four different organizations hired by the state to do these audits. So four separate audits happening, you know, alongside each other. And Democrats have been doing everything they can to try to stop it. They've been, for example, they tried putting a restraining order on the conservatives doing this. They tried blocking it. They tried limiting its scope. They've tried everything they can to prevent this from happening. One of the individuals running the audit even said someone offered him $10 million back out or who knows what else. And he of course, refused and made it public.
You say $10 million, Josh? Did you say he was offered $10 million?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear about that.
There was one individual. Yeah, there was one individual doing the audit who claimed that someone tried bribing him with $10 million.
Wow. Huh.
And so, you know, you have people desperately trying to stop it, which I think should raise some questions
yes.
in and of itself. Yeah.
Josh, I see that the people conducting the audit were very upset because apparently the justice system or somehow released their security measures even though they were not supposed to. So I don't understand that.
Well, it's a bit strange. I've been reading into myself, and from what I understand, it was more the Democrat side who didn't want that information released, but I think they're trying to use that as a linchpin to try to kind of throw a wrench into the whole thing. You also had one of the judges have to step down because one of the groups conducting the audit, in fact, I think the one that released that document, put someone on the team who had worked with the judge, and so the judge had to recuse himself, and a Democrat-appointed judge had to replace the Republican-appointed judge. And so, you know, there are things like this taking place as well. Trump has also come out and really said that there needs to be much, much more security than what's being given right now. He believes that there's going to be people trying to do whatever they can to try to stop this information from getting out as well.
Well, Josh, I find it so interesting. There recently, Liz Cheney from Wyoming, she was one of the representatives in Congress that voted for impeachment of Donald Trump. And apparently there was a headline that she slams Trump on the that he called the election a big lie. And she apparently is kind of going after him on that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I know it's controversial at this point, but look, Democrats for how many years were saying that the 2016 election was essentially a big lie and launching investigations and trying to impeach Trump and dragging the whole country through this mess. You know, and what was the heart of that? It was the Trump-Russia dossier, the Steele dossier, which it turned out later had been commissioned by the Clinton campaign and the Democrats in order to get arguably illegal spying through different government offices, feeding disinformation to news outlets and to the entire public in the country. While at the same time, it turned out that they had collected the information for the Steele dossier from unverified claims of Russian sources. And so the document even in itself was what they were criticizing Trump of having done, which was basically using Russian disinformation to try to, you know, upset the outcome of the election. And now you have very serious evidence that, yeah, there were at the very least, if not outright fraud, at the very least, there were some extremely unethical things that took place in many parts of this country. At the very least, government officials changing election laws or, you know, bypassing state legislatures to change election laws, doing things that at the very least you could say were unconstitutional, which did have an impact on the election. And, you know, they come out and borderline celebrate with Times Magazine headlines, you know, claiming that they fortified the election, that they did, they took actions to ensure that Biden would win, all these big powerful actors. And so at the very least, we could say that there were very unethical things that had taken place.
That let's jump over then here to Rudy Giuliani, because it looks like there's some irregularities going on around this raid on his home, and what's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Well, the claim against Giuliani is that he was somehow, he had somehow had dealings with Ukraine that he shouldn't have had, and he denies these claims. You know, they claim that he should have registered as, I believe, a foreign agent while he didn't. It's very bizarre. So basically, federal agents raided one of the homes of Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, and also seized his electronic devices. And then he comes out, and it turns out that when Trump was being impeached, and remember, this was a government-led impeachment back in 2019 when the Democrats launched their impeachment, it passed in the House, fell out, and, you know, was rejected in the Senate. But, you know, it was deeply politicized. You normally have to have a chief justice oversee it. The Democrats themselves were overseeing it because the Chief Justice himself could not do it because of some of the technical issues that made the whole thing arguably unconstitutional to begin with, to the point where the Chief Justice couldn't even oversee it. During that time, the FBI had apparently launched an investigation, and this was when Trump was still president, to the point where they were even stealing or monitoring, I should say, communications between Trump and his lawyer, which was Giuliani. And so, I mean, this is just, you know, Watergate, in my opinion, level stuff just happening again. Just, we're so used to it these days that we're almost numb to it.
Well, it's interfering with attorney-client privilege. They're so good at that these days. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, that's the point that Rudy Giuliani made and Alan Dershowitz was making, that it's unconstitutional what they did on several levels. And again, like you just mentioned, violating attorney-client privileges, also illegal search and seizure. And so it's again, this kind of turning upside down of laws in the country where crime is okay, but political crime is what the real focus is right now.
Josh, we are in such a, I think it's a dangerous time, but yet it's an exciting time because I feel that people are waking up, not becoming woke, but waking up to what is happening here. And this is, I mean, this is a complete assault on the United States of America, I think.
I'd say it is, and I'd say it is even on its face, because what you have are folks looking to basically overturn the founding stories of this country, right? I mean, you know, you said it's anti-American, and a lot of people think that's, oh, you know, everyone says that, everyone says it's the 60s or whatever, but that's what it is. These are folks who want to destroy, who want to tear down our statues, who want to rewrite our textbooks, who want to demonize our founding fathers. Folks who believe the Constitution, that no amendment is absolute in the Constitution. They believe it's a living document that can be changed based on whatever political goals they have in the moment. What they're looking to do is rewrite American history, restructure the values of this country, change the narratives of our founding ideas to change the culture of the American people. And, in every way it is an assault on what America is. At the same time, like you mentioned, I think it's causing people to wake up as well. Because the reality was, I mean, for folks like me who've been kind of, you know, working in journalism, I'm sure like you too, Kim, I mean, I think we've been watching this for a long time now. But, you know, what you're seeing now is the bubbling up, the coming to the surface of factors that have been working beneath the scenes mm-hmm. for a very long time.
Definitely. Well, Susan?
What I find interesting is these people always tell you who they are if you just listen. When Barack Obama was running for office and Michelle Obama was stumping for him, she was out making political statements and she was saying, Barack knows we're going to have to change our traditions and customs and history. That's exactly what she was saying. And they pulled her off of the circuit right away, but it was sort of out there. But nobody really ever, you have to listen to them. They will, and believe them. They will tell you who they are and what they'll do.
Well, that is for sure, Josh. And you mentioned that this has been under the surface. I continue to say that the mask has come off, no pun intended, and or the veil has come off of what the agenda is. And it is pretty shocking, but I, like you, have been watching this, first of all, in disbelief, as I first started to see these things happen. And now that it's out in the open, we have to engage in this battle of ideas that is going on in our country right now. Josh, and you're doing an excellent job as a senior investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, as well as Crossroads. I have to ask you, Josh, on a note, I have tried to figure out, is it Epic, Epoch? What is the correct pronunciation of your publication?
So this is where we confuse everybody. They're actually both accurate.
Ah.
If you're in the UK or Canada, it's Epoch. And some of our hosts are Canadian, and so they say Epoch. But if you're American, the technical pronunciation is Epic.
Okay.
And then some of us just throw a whole wrench into it and say Epoch.
So. I'm glad
you say tomato, I say tomato.
There. Okay, I'm glad you clarified that for me. We're going to go to break. We're talking with Josh Phillips, and he is the host of Crossroads, as well as a senior investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. Susan Kochevar is in studio with me. She's the owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Josh, I'd like to talk about China and this new digital currency. You're an expert on China, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with Josh Phillip.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration.
Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Before we get over here to Susan Kochevar, who's in studio, and Josh Phillip, did want to give a shout out to another one of my great partners, and that's Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business, and they have one of the best selections of knives in the country. So whether or not you are a collector or a sportsman or a chef, check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And it's Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day, great place to get a gift. Again, that's castlegate.com. Susan Kochevar, it's great to have you in studio. And you and I have been talking a little bit about China, and you had some questions for Josh.
I do, because I know Josh is really an expert on that. What am I hearing about China taking over the digital currency? And did I see there was a document that was leaked that just said so much that they intend to take it over?
Yeah, so the Chinese Communist Party is working on some, I mean, to put it lightly, terrifying things right now for the world.
Right.
Among these are a digital currency that basically lets the government control every purchase, and including going to the world banks, the different world banks, centralized banks, to push this globally, many of which have already jumped on board, including the Federal Reserve talking about a digital dollar, including British banks talking about a digital pound, and European banks talking about a digital euro. Basically what this is, in China, and there's a few other parts of this too, but basically what's happening right now is in China, the People's Bank of China, and the CCP has been working on this for a long time, they're launching a digital currency. And this is different from like Bitcoin and things like this. You know, Bitcoin, people liked it because it was decentralized. It wasn't under a bank. You know, your identity within it was somewhat hidden. People liked the idea of bypassing the banks through this. The problem we have now is because, you know, banks are looking at digital currencies and they're saying, oh, we need to get in on that. And then they're saying, oh, there's too many risks involved with it. Maybe we should regulate it. Why don't we create standards for digital currencies? And guess who's running the standard program? Chinese Communist Party. What this will do, basically, if they can push this, well, they're already doing it in China, but if they can push this globally, it means that banks and the Chinese Communist Party, in this case, can allow or cancel or reject any purchase. And in China, where they have things like the social credit system, which this is tied into, where you're given a citizen score based on how closely you abide by the standards of the Communist Party. Like, you know, if you violate, you know, for example, if you're religious, you might get docked a few points. If you oppose the Chinese Communist Party, you might get docked many points. If you believe in something the CCP doesn't want you to believe in, you might get docked points. If you're friends with someone who's, you know, considered an enemy of the state, you'll get docked points. And this could be something, you know, if you have a high score, where you're allowed basically total freedom in society within the boundaries, of course, of the Communist Party, or a low score where you can't even, you know, get a bus ticket or rent a bike or something like that. And, you know, imagine you go to the store and, you know, you go to purchase, say, luxury goods or, you know, your loaf of bread, and they, you know, say, sorry, comrade, you know, your purchase has been declined due to low citizen score. And if your ability to make purchases is limited to the currency that's there, you're in a pretty desperate state. And this is what they're pushing globally right now.
Josh, this is terrifying.
To say the least. But that's just part of it, unfortunately. The Chinese Communist Party right now is also launching similar programs to do partial ownership of all businesses, a model of what they call state capitalism or socialism. They're going to start pushing globally. And they're also pushing a program to gain control over the global internet and all outlets of information, which they're already well on their way to accomplishing.
Well, I hear banks in the United States, too, are starting to use an EAS score or something like that, which is very similar to a social credit score, to determine whether you can get a loan or not.
Yeah, they're talking about looking at your Google search history and making your credit tied in with that. You know, this is the concerning part about and then the Biden administration as well is talking about partnering. They haven't done it yet, but they're talking about it, partnering with private companies in order to monitor the American people for what they call terrorism, or, you know, the new keyword, right, domestic terrorism, which who knows how broad that could be. You know, this is the concerning thing in the United States, is that businesses are already, to an extent, enforcing the same type of totalitarian policy you have in China. We just don't have it from the federal level. And the Biden administration has been kind of using this to an extent, where rather than, you know, because they can't enforce some of these things from the top level, they're going through the corporate structure to do it, which anyone who studies history, I mean, that the cooperation between a totalitarian or a big government socialist state and the big corporate structure, that's textbook fascism. And this is where we're at right now.
Well, Josh, that's why the American founding is so important, that states have sovereignty as well, that we have this, you know, this experiment of all these different states. So Governor DeSantis down in Florida is basically, Florida is free. We have draconian stuff going on here in Colorado. In fact, again, a big government and big business. And actually, I should say, government here in Colorado, they're trying to use business to enforce kind of a social adherence to that. And so it's important that we have all these different states. And I think that was a great thing about Trump, is he did not step in and do these big things from a federal level. He understood constitutionally states needed to figure this out, Josh.
Well, you know, I think right now is when we're seeing the genius of the founding fathers, because, I mean, we've seen most countries in the world fall to socialism, even countries we wouldn't think. Most of Europe is socialist. Almost all of Asia is socialist. Most of Africa and Latin America are socialist. I mean, going back to the early 1900s, Mexico had already gone borderline communist to the extent they were already aligning with the Bolsheviks very early on. Most of the world is practicing socialism. And in the U.S., we're on the brink of it. Many states are enforcing it. The corporate structures are enforcing it. Now the federal government is enforcing it to a pretty strong degree. But what we have that's unique in America is state rights, the sovereignty of states to an extent. And we're seeing this now, where states are basically joined, not just joining together, but also even suing the federal government. Even, you know, taking policy that one state will write, like Arizona, for example, made a gun sanctuary state law, basically forbidding enforcement of federal level gun enforcement policies that Biden's trying to roll out right now. You're seeing this happen, and it is coming to the point now where even if the federal government goes in the direction it seems to be going, which is pretty strong socialist, or full socialist, you could argue, even. States themselves are able to stand up against it, and we do see this happen.
Well, and elections really matter. We have a lot of work to do out here in Colorado, but there's just a lot going on out there, and we've got just a few minutes left. Susan Kochevar, what's kind of your final thought you'd like to leave with Josh on this?
Well, my final thought is what we're seeing is the oligarchy develop, and the thing that I talk, you know, show itself, and the thing that I talk about a lot is these public-private partnerships. You'll hear that a lot. That stuff has to stop, because you don't want the marrying of private business and government ever. Like that.
For sure. And Josh Philip, it's always great to have you on the show. What's your final thought? Leave us with some hope on this whole thing.
Well, you know, we're about to see a big narrative battle take place in this country. And not to put too much hope on Trump, but, you know, realistically, 2022 is just around the corner. It's already 2021. And leading up into that, I mean, really, we're going to start seeing campaigning. We're going to start seeing Trump rallies. We're going to start seeing him getting behind every candidate he's trying to push to replace, to retake the House and the Senate for Republicans in 2022. And the chances of that happening are actually very strong, especially because the recent census gave a lot of seats to Republican states and took a lot of seats away from Democrat states. The chance of that happening, at the very least Republicans retaking the House, are very high right now. And really, we're about to see again a narrative battle take place in this country, where as soon as an alternative platform is released, and Trump's talking about launching his own, and again going to be touring the whole country giving these talks, this other side of the narrative is what's missing right now. Really, the other side is pretty much left to folks like you and me, Kim, right now. It's, you know, media organizations and individual journalists kind of talking about things. There's no top-level discussion around the battle for freedom, I guess we could call it. But that's about to happen. And I think take heart in that, because there is a good chance that things could turn around. And with the very least, we're going to start seeing more top-level discussions around the legitimacy of these types of actions.
That is really exciting. And Josh, Phillip, we have just about a minute, but I say that we stand on the shoulders of giants. We are Americans. And we're here for this time, Josh. I really believe it. And we need to engage in this battle of the narrative. Josh, and you do that really well. Your final thought.
Well, you know, we're all people of our times. You know, I had a quote from the Hagakure, which is an old Japanese text, and it talks about how, you know, everybody wishes they could live 100 years ago or live in better times, but that's not going to happen. You need to make the best of every generation and, you know, rise to the occasion when it comes down to it.
Josh Phillip, thank you so much. He is a senior investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, host of Crossroads. We'll talk to you again next month.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, Susan, it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you. Fun as always.
And C.S. Lewis said, hardship often prepares an ordinary person for an extraordinary destiny. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want